the broad ambition is that we need to, as far as it's possible, serve the whole of the UK, as any national museum, wherever it's based, does. But the main sort of practical way in which we're pursuing that ambition is the idea of a satellite in London. This has been going on for a while, as you're probably aware, and a number of potential locations have sort of come up and then faded away. Concept is that certainly initially this would be a temporary exhibition gallery, and we would envisage photography as being the main use of that space. It's not just a sort of 10 years away pipe dream, it's an active thing we're actively pursuing.
Can you set the timescale, a year?
Well, the one that we're hoping will come good is certainly, you know, much nearer than 5 years away.
That was 6 years ago. The then director of the National Media Museum, Colin Philpott. So how are those plans coming along?
So I'm in West London and I'm on Exhibition Road. On my right is the Victoria and Albert Museum, and people are already queuing to get in. On the left is the Natural History Museum with its dinosaurs, and here is the Science Museum, which is going to soon be, in June, the venue for Media Space.
Richard.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you finally.
Yeah.
I'm just going to take you upstairs to the temporary exhibition space.
Great.
This is behind the scenes. I love going behind the scenes.
I love going behind the scenes, yes.
This is the press officer for Media Space, Eleanor McNair.
So this is the same, we're on the floor below what will be the Media Space, and we're assuming it's got the same floor plan.
Yeah. Kind of extends further this way, so this is the equivalent of the major exhibition space.
So it's sort of, it's a two tennis courts.
Exactly. I would like to think it's two tennis courts.
Yeah.
So here she is.
Sorry. That's
alright. Hi.
This is Hannah Redler, head of Media Space and the arts programmer in the Science Museum.
When visitors come in the main entrance, people will go up to the second floor, where the minute people cross the threshold that's marked by the end of that balustrade, they'll be in Media Space, the new home for showing our extraordinary photographic collections from the Science Museum and the National Media Museum. It's a collaborative project between the two museums. Very long overdue. We're excited beyond belief that it's actually this year.
Yes.
Yeah.
The history of programming the Media Museum has always had this sort of sociological emphasis.
Yes.
So it's exhibitions of baby photographs.
Yes.
Is the tendency going more towards the sociological or more towards the contemporary art, or do they?
Media Space will look across culture, but it will be arts-led. So all subjects are on message, but told through the perspective of an arts-led group of practitioners, by which I include theorists, curators, critics.
Can you say how much of the programme will be photography and how much of it will be other stuff?
Well, predominantly the main gallery will be photography biased initially, because we have an awful lot we want to get out and show, and that's why we set this project up. But we really don't want to show it in isolation. Greg Hobson, our curator of photographs, and Bradford and I are in complete agreement. We don't want photography to be sort of isolated as this thing that exists on its own, because that's not interesting and it's not true. So we'll be showing broad practice throughout, but sometimes there'll be pure photography shows, sometimes they'll be mixed, sometimes there'll be photography in one space, mixed media in the other, or media art, or painting, sculpture.
Will there be charged exhibitions?
Yes. All of the exhibitions in the main gallery will be charging.
And so that
and the studio space will be free.
Do you need a certain number of people to come to the shows? And if so, how many?
We do, but we're being very conservative about it, and our business case is based on around 100,000 visitors to the space. It will, you know, take time to build up. That said, the Science Museum welcomes over 3 million a year, can be 27,000 on a day, and on days like that, people find their way to every corner. So it will be interesting to see how they...
So you should get 100,000 people, even if it's just people that are lost.
And
well, I hope so.
Want a drink.
Yes, and they get a drink.
Absolutely.
Yes. So what's going to happen when it opens? What's the opening? It's June it opens. And,
yes, it's June.
And the opening
and
show is called...
Revelations. The Experiment in Photography.
I'm sorry, I have to stop you there. Because 3 weeks later, there was a launch event for Media Space.
We're now very much on the home straight with this project. So it will open on the 21st of September. And the first show will be Tony Ray Jones, curated by Greg Hobson and Martin Parr. We're pretty convinced it's a major cultural event. In fact, I go on about it so much in my own work of trustees that one of my trustees is a very eminent physicist, came up to me the day after I last spoke about the project and said, I'm keeping my eye on you. I think you're turning the science museum into an art museum. Now, as I'm amongst friends, that is, of course, my secret plan.
That was Ian Blatchford, the director of the Science Museum. Also at the event was Heather Mayfield, the deputy director.
Looking back on it, it's had quite a long gestation period, all of which go very smoothly. Why do you think that has taken so long?
Well, I always laugh about this because, you know, I'm in charge of major projects at the Science Museum, and what we normally say is, from idea to delivery is usually 5 years in order to get there and get the money, and that's exactly the timescale of Media Space. And I think the difference about Media Space is normally when we decide what things are going to be and we work with people, by the time we come out, we're doing this in this formed way. But Media Space, that's all been played out in a very public light.
I get the feeling that there's always a mixed feeling that you're committed to the Bradford presence.
I don't know, I probably feel slightly differently about this from many people because I was the person who transferred the collections from London to Bradford because I was Colin Ford's museum assistant. So, you know, the Bradford end of things is really important, but the bottom line is that to have a showcase for those collections in London is important. And it was important 30 years ago, and I think, you know, we moved that without really, really thinking through. That a museum that had been showing photography since the early days of photography then was not showing photography for 30-odd years. Well, that's mad. So,
did you just say that moving the photography collections to Bradford was a mistake?
No, I don't think it was, because I think it's given a massive audience up there. What the mistake was that we didn't carry on doing photography exhibitions in London. So having always done photography exhibitions, when it went to Bradford, it was like all photography exhibitions now happen in Bradford. They don't happen in the Science Museum. That was definitely a mistake. So I think, you know, getting a director who came from a V&A background and who just sat there and said, well, it's not that difficult, is it? Was also a real boost for this particular project.
Who's that?
Ian Blatchford.
When you said that, I thought you were talking about Charlotte Cotton.
Oh, right.
Because she also from a V&A background.
Yeah, she was from a V&A background, but Charlotte and I got on. I got Charlotte. She brought a curatorial vision and a clarity to this space. She didn't want to deliver it, and I understand that. It's a completely different thing.
How much of her vision is going to be in it when it opens?
I think quite a lot of her vision around it being a space for open practice and a space that doesn't only attract people who are already interested in photography. And that feeling that photography genuinely is on the cusp of a change, and what will new media really mean in those terms. And of course all of that fits very well with Hannah's practice and the things that she's been doing. So I think those two things have come together well.
Here's Ian Blatchford again.
I think the reason why so many people are here today is that Media Space is simply incredibly important for photography. And the reason I say that is that one of the things that's been incredibly striking as this project has moved nearer its opening date is the incredibly generous support we've received from the photography community. I think at this stage, really, I want to hand over to Michael Wilson, because when I joined the museum about 2 years ago, I realised that the person who had really been the inspiration for this project was Michael, wearing many different hats, not only as chairman of the National Media Museum, but also, as many of you know, an incredibly sophisticated and important photography collector, but also a man who gets things done. And I can remember when I first started, Michael made it very clear to me that making sure Media Space, the space happened, was absolutely the reason that I was born. And our entire relationship depended on making sure it's happened. So even though it's had a slightly bumpy ride, I think all of that's going to be forgotten because it's going to be a major event. So listen, it's really fantastic to have you all here. And let me hand it over to the evil genius behind the
Well, if Michael Wilson is the evil genius behind Media Space, what does he think it's for? In 2005, I interviewed him, and he talked about the relationship between museums and collectors.
I think it's kind of interesting how I think a museum if you have the right kind of curators and the right kind of atmosphere in the museum, they can stimulate collectors. And they can guide collectors, and they can be very influential in collectors. That's certainly been my experience, that you get a real benefit. And then what happens is, as the collector gets more and more experienced, he then can become helpful in the museum. I've become trustees of museums and things like that now. And I'm sort of a person who can help the museum in developing its way and help the curators and work with the curators. So it's a way of paying back. I guess about the time that the British wake up to the fact that photography is an important art, it's going to be vanish. have been invented and gone into something else, you know. That's probably the case.
When I started a dozen years ago at the media museum, I thought, well, this is a no-brainer. After we need another gallery in London to show off what is the National Collection of Photography. How in the world can this not happen? Well, I found out what it's like working in the government, organization, and every time we went through a lot of new directors here at the museum, and every time I had to remake the case because it wasn't happening. Finally, when Ian came, he came over across the street where there had been violent opposition to having a place here. And of course, I thought then I was totally sunk. And it took a few, just actually 3 months, I think, that he became a believer. So it looks like finally it's going to happen.
A number of other people were at the press launch. This is Francis Hodgson from the Financial Times.
What do you make of the launch?
Well, I mean, I think that in all the cheerful breakfast meeting, there's a very simple message which is concealed, which is that we've been told that the thing will open, I think, 3 months after the original date, which is a bit of a disappointment.
What do you think about the media space as a proposition? As a person who writes about photography, do you like the idea of it being in a media science environment?
I don't mind that at all. I certainly think that the idea that the Bradford collections should get some kind of proper showing is essential. My own particular bugbear has long been that I don't understand how all this is controlled by any kind of strategic or even governmental overview, and I rather regret the absence of a figure to have some kind of long-term strategic oversight of what's going on, because I see individual photographic baronies running their own programs without much in the way of mutual assistance and with no great care to make sure that they don't overlap.
Sounds like you're calling for a photography czar.
I am. Something of that kind to knock the heads together to make sure these people understand that they're working on behalf of the public and not of their own institutions.
What about the way photography fits in media? You don't think that you're putting a kind of artificial boundary that doesn't really exist anymore around photography as a subject?
I'm old-fashioned. My sense is that photography has its own proper back culture, back story, its own proper history. There is a concern that media involves an anti-cultural bias, that once one starts thinking in digital terms, it's quite easy to think of a kind of overall digital soup where everything is equal and everything is treated equally, and I don't think that applies to photography. I think photography has a long and prodigiously rich culture, which is our shared culture. So it does seem to me a mistake to say a part of media is photography.
This is Sophie Wright, who organises exhibitions for Magnum.
I think it's great. We were just saying it's, you know, I think a lot of people want to support it. A lot of people are here today. It's really obvious that there's a space for it within London's kind of photo scene. It's a beautiful location and venue, and we really hope it, you know, is a success. We want to see the collection from Bradford in London. You know, that's the point of it. And I, you know, as someone that works in placing exhibitions, you know, it's great for us to have another location in London that we can put Magnum into. So from a purely selfish perspective, it's fantastic.
I also bumped into Olivier Richon, who is an artist and head of photography at the Royal College of Art.
Oh, hello. Hi, Richard. How are you?
How are you? Very well.
Good.
What do you think of this, the possibilities of the media space?
No, I think it's, in a sense, it's good, but it's not art photography particularly, because art photography has a lot of spaces now. There's a lot of exposure.
Would you have ever travelled? I mean, you're based in London. Would you have ever travelled to Bradford to see the shows there?
I think I did once. Oh, it's better than none.
Yes.
Actually, it was very difficult. I remember when I travelled. Maybe it's better now, but
we were then joined by the artist Adam Broomberg.
I was just asking Olivier what he thinks about the new space.
And?
He likes it. What about photography as media? Do you like that idea?
Yeah. As opposed to science. But I think it, always to challenge that, I think, would be important.
Science is so specific, isn't it? Photography and science is not about the image anymore.
No.
It's about the process of imaging and all that. For me, it's less interesting.
The man in charge was just saying in his public speech that he was being accused of bringing art into a science museum.
Yeah.
You're both artists. do you mind that? Do you feel like you're interlopers?
I hope that they do bring it. Yeah, I think it's kind of like bacteria.
Yeah,
live bacteria.
No, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
I don't like purities.
But I leave the last word to the person in charge of Media Space, Hannah Redler.
I would like it to contribute to a landscape where photography is seen as an urgent and valid and significant artistic form, but also, not just artistic, that the role and history of photography in shaping our experience and creating and documenting knowledge is acknowledged in a knowing way. It's something I was talking about with Broomberg and Shannon, and we're talking to them about a few things, and we were talking about the obedience of the photographic image. You know, we're all bombarded by images all the time, and a lot of them do what they're supposed to do, and something that artists, I think I would include them in this, do is to challenge that obedience of the image and challenge how the viewer reads them. And I hope that we can have a role in making people be active readers of photographic images as well.